Bless you. Thank you for your faithful sowing into the kingdom of God. We just want to encourage you folks this morning. Maybe you're visiting for the first time this morning, or you've been coming here for a long time, and you think, you know what, the preaching and the messages and the encouragement and the word in this church is up to the so-called paid professionals or the experts. Well, I want to tell you this much. I do get paid, yes, but I'm not an expert, because an ex is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip of water under pressure. And I'm most certainly not that. I want to encourage you that God is no respecter of persons, and He distributes gifts in the body as He sees fit. There's a principle in Scripture that says, by the mouths of two or more witnesses, everybody say two or more witnesses, every word is established. And God gives words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of knowledge, and prophecies to different people in the church. We want to encourage you and give you the space and the freedom to feel free, that if the Lord is laying something on your heart, to please come and share that with us. Kyk, ons gaan nie toelaat dat jy hier opkom en 'n klomp tjol praat. Okay, this is not a circus, it's not a show, it's not an entertainment for the saints. We come in fear and trembling before the living God to give Him honor and reverence, to glorify Him, and to let the Spirit of God speak to His people. But if you sense that the Lord is laying something on your heart, please don't come and stand here while I'm preaching and look up to me like a bird waiting to receive food from its parent. But please, I want to encourage you to go to one of the Handlebar team members. They'll listen to you, submit that the Lord has laid on your heart to them, and they'll release you and give you an opportunity to speak if and when it's in line with what the Spirit of God has for us as a church on that particular morning. Is that okay? In case you do not know, the Handlebar team members, Kobus is one, Yaku, Corneille, Gary, Elmarie, Vitekemet, Dave, Belinda, Colette, please come and say, look, I just sense the Lord say this. Jy weet, jy sit down, you know that, you think, you know, shouldn't I? Please, just, if you want to come and tell us, maybe you had a pizza dream. A pizza dream is where you dream weird things because you ate too much the previous night. Obviously, gaan jy nie geleentheid gee om te praat nie, maar hoe sal ons weet, hoe sal jy weet as jy nie probeer nie? If you start taking that first step of faith in the gifting that the Lord has given you, because this is not about paid professionals preaching, en die rest van die mense sit daar as aanskouers, terwyl die ander ouens op die veld aanjaag. God has something to say to His body, and He wants to confirm His word by the mouths of two or three witnesses. We want to declare that blessing over you again. I'm going to ask the deep end to lead us in that song, a blessing. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can pray, you can do what you want. Just focus in and speak that blessing over each other this morning, and receive that blessing for yourself before we get into a time of ministering the word. Is that okay? Bless you guys. Thank you, deep end. You can lead us in that time as we just declare that blessing over us this morning.
Hem waar jou skyn sy aangesig oor jou, mag hy genade bewys. Here draai sy gesig na jou, mag hy jou vrede gee. Lord bless you. To you, Lord, turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
declare that over your people, Lord God. We say amen and amen because we believe it. We want your blessing and favor to be upon your people so that we can in turn go into a dark, dying, desperate, sick, twisted, messed up, confused world and be a blessing to them and tell them of the Lord's favor, that it is good and that it is for all and everyone, Lord, in the name of Jesus. This is not just a song for us. It's a declaration of faith, Lord, believing that it shall come to pass as you pour out your Spirit upon us in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you this morning, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for your presence here. Thank you for coming to church this morning. I know God is going to speak into your life. If you've come with expectancy, expect God to speak into your heart. We're going through the book of Revelation in a series on Revelation called Understanding Revelation. We started off with the way Jesus Christ introduces himself when he speaks, and it's for us to understand his titles and his purpose and the areas of life over which he gives us victory. And then we see that God gave Jesus the revelation. The Lord sent his angel to John, and John then went out and gave these letters to the churches, and we're busy working through the letters that the Lord has gave us. Last week, we started off with the church in Ephesus, and what I want to highlight from that, and we're going to do that the same this week, but for a different church, and apply to us this morning, is that God called them. He says, you're doing these things, and you're laboring, and you've been tested, and you have patience, and you've persevered, but I want you to return to your first love. And we challenged ourselves to remind ourselves what it was like when it was the best time for you to come to church, where you weren't distracted by all other things, where you didn't have to drag your lazy bones body out of the bed in the morning, and you weren't overcome in the wintertime by the spirit of duvet, and you had bikkie lange gelee, and toe jy weer wakker skrik, jy is klaar laat vir kerk. You know, and people talk about how difficult it is. Say, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't afford this, and I can't afford that. And I challenge them with this thought and say, well, if I tell you that you've won the national lottery of 87 million South African rand, you'd get excited and say, yay, hallelujah. But the catch is, all you have to do is come to church to get it. Jy gaan 'n plan maak om kerk toe te kom vir daai dag om beslag te lê op daai 87 miljoen. Is dit dan nie so in die kerk? That's what it's like. So you make a plan. And we spoke about our people. Some people complain that the service is too long. Some say it's too short. The music is too long. The music is too short. The preaching is too long. The preaching is too short. And that it is inevitably a question of appetite as opposed to time. That was last week. This week, a letter is written to the church in Smyrna. And to remind you, all these seven churches at the time were in the modern day Turkey, what we know as Turkey today. They were distributed there. So turn with me in your Bibles. Follow on the overhead if you've got a physical Bible or a Bible on a laptop or a screen or a phone of some sort or whatever. Come with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. We're going to be looking at the New King James translation. And when you there, say, preach it. If you need some time, say, please wait. Okay. Revelation, it's the second last book in the Bible. The last book is the book of maps. Just before maps, you get the book of Revelation. The second chapter, and we're going to read from verse 8, and it says as following. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you heard, which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you might be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. We thank you for your word this morning. We cherish it. Ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend nie, Lord God. We thank you that we can gather around your word this morning. But what encourages me, Lord God, as the preacher this morning, is that you are watching over your word to perform it. So do it, Lord. Let it come to reality and let it come to pass in people's lives this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at some good, some bad. We're going to look at a command. We're going to look at what certain things mean out of this context. And he says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty. Tribulation. We're going to speak about what it means to experience tribulation, what it means to experience persecution from the devil. I want to tell you, church, we live a very, 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 very comfortable and relaxed lifestyle as Christians in South Africa. We think persecution, the devil is attacking me when you get a puncture. I want to tell you, the devil is not attacking you when you get a puncture. Just happened to be that way. The devil is not attacking you when your air conditioner doesn't work at home. The devil is not attacking you when the dog dies or gets run over. The devil is not attacking you in these times. Satan is attacking you when he comes to attack your thoughts and tells lies into your head, things that are contradictory to the word of God. The devil is attacking you when a spirit of fear comes upon you. The devil is attacking you when you harbor bitterness in your heart, when he encourages you to want to hate other people. That's when the devil is attacking you. And sometimes the devil does attack you when he sends people to do affirmative shopping in your house. When they decide that the things that you worked for and paid for, they need them a little bit more than you do. That could be a satanic attack. But most of the time, folks, the comfortable lifestyles that we lead as Christians in South Africa is nothing compared to people that are in the persecuted church throughout the world that get threatened on a daily basis. Their lives get threatened because they believe in Jesus Christ. That's what tribulation is. That's what these people were experiencing. And then poverty. Speaking about poverty, it might be, you know, I want to say this, that lack of any kind is a curse. Lack of any kind is a curse. It's not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord. Most Bible scholars believe that the symptom of poverty is a cause of a thing known as the vagabond spirit. You see, the first time that that happened was when Cain was banished because of his ungodly sacrifice. Speaks about a vagabond spirit that was released, and most Bible scholars believe the symptom of poverty is as a result of that vagabond spirit. We know, folks, that the curse of poverty cannot be fixed by throwing money at it. You see, poverty is a spiritual condition that manifests in lack. It needs to be addressed spiritually. You can take money and you can throw it at somebody that's of a poverty mentality in a certain amount of time. They won't be back to square one because the square will be lost and broken and stolen. Before you threw money at the problem. That's why Jesus said the poor will always be amongst you. Picture this. The people of God get delivered by Pastor Moses out of the land of bondage in Egypt on their way to the promised land. God is doing the supernatural, giving them water out of the rock. Winds change so that they weren't happy with angels' food, the best food that they could get. They said, we want meat, we want meat, we want meat, ons wil braai. He said, right, you're not happy, you're moaning and groaning. Jy gaan braai totdat by die gate van jou liggaam uitkom. And the meat came out of the orifices of their body. They were experiencing the supernatural. Their clothes didn't shrink or perish in all the transition, their sojourn through the desert. They were experiencing the supernatural. And guess what? There were still poor people amongst them. Who is it onmoontlik that God was doing? Why? Because there are people that harbored poverty mentality in their hearts still. God gave Moses instructions on how to deal and help the poor folk. Why? So we see this over here. This is what they were experiencing. It says, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not. We experience blasphemy today on a regular basis all the time. It is the norm of the way of the world today. Don't ask why, folks. The world is being the world. The world is just being the world. So we as Christians, we're called to judge the world, right? No. God's job is to judge the world. We're called to judge each other. Hello. Don't let somebody confuse the scriptures to say, you mustn't judge, you mustn't judge. Nonsense. We must judge. We are called to judge the fruit in each other's lives and our walk with God. We are called to judge each other. God is called to judge the world. The world is being the world. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, we're in that time when it says they're going to call that which is good, evil, that which is evil, good, that which is sweet, bitter, that which is bitter, sweet. That's the time we're living in now. The time we are living in. These people were going through things like this. And you know, Jesus is the bearer. The word gospel means good news. Amen. Okay, I need more support and more gusto and more enthusiasm and more belief and faith in that statement. The word gospel means good news. Amen. Yes, church. Jesus is the bearer of good news. Oh, julle, ek weet nie van julle nie, maar ek lees hier so, 'n hele mond vol wat nie goeie nuus is nie, hallo. Jesus brings truth, and sometimes truth is not good news. People hate the truth when the truth is perceived as hate. Hate speech. There's a bill that's just been passed by Parliament. We're praying that the President doesn't sign it because it has unclear definition of what hate speech is. In other words, if you say something, ooh, you've hurt my feelings. Well, to with you and your feelings, man. If it's the truth, deal with it. Let it change you. Let it fix you. Let it put you on the straight and narrow and the path to life. Dit is wat besig is om te gebeur, of jy dit weet of nie. They want to pass this bill that declares hate speech so general. Well, if people preach something and it hurts your feelings, you can be sentenced, fine, and sent to jail, yalla. This is what is trying to be passed in your sunny South Africa. That's what we're dealing with today. I want to encourage you to subscribe to a website called Dear South Africa. It's called Dear South Africa, and current issues that are going on in Parliament, they send out prayer requests to you, where you fill in, it takes a few seconds or minutes, depending on how fast you type. And it's not like just a list that gets handed with signatures that mean nothing. Each and every single person's email counts as if you personally came there and opposed the thing that gets passed. Go on there and just get up to speed with what's happening in your country, all the kind of unscriptural laws that are trying to be passed all the time. That's what's happening. It says here, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. How's that? Imagine the Lord sending a letter coming out. There's a message from the Lord, and the Lord says, this church is about to suffer. Almal van julle, julle gaan swaar kry. What are we going to do? Are we then going to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord? Is it going to be whistling and clapping and chanting? We're going to be so, mara why? Mara why? Here, hoekom? Wat ons verkeerd geloop? What did I do wrong, Lord? No, you didn't do anything wrong. You are made in the image of God. You're starting to look and sound and think and act like Jesus. The devil hates it. Therefore, he's going to come and try and derail you and discourage you and disappoint you. I want to tell you, keep on keeping on, because if you do not lose heart, if you will remain faithful to the end, you will receive the crown of life and receive the reward from the Lord. Remaining faithful to the end, church. You see, you know how easy it is for me, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit provided, to stand up here with the microphone and wada, 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 under these circumstances. But when we're out there in the real world, when the pressure's on, and the pawpaw, and the cabbage, and the carrots, and the mince, and alles slaat die fan, op een slag, dan, what comes out of my mouth then? Oh, for 5, 6. Listen to this. Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Wat gaan ons dan maak? Nee, kom ons stuur gou-gou gebedsketting. Let's pray against this. Listen, folks, if God says it's going to happen, oh, thank you. Thank you for taking the words out of my mouth and shoving it into my ears. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay? The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. Why does God submit you to a test? Speak to me, church. Strengthen you in your faith. What else? You must learn something. What else? I want to come with a completely different angle this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready for some revelation? You know why God puts you to the test? Because He knows you can. God trusts you before He tests you. Do you think your loving Heavenly Father is going to get you to walk in water waar jy weet jy gaan verdrink? Do you think He's going to get you to face something that you cannot handle? It's unscriptural. The scripture says no temptation has befallen you except such as is common to man, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And God is faithful in that with every temptation He provides the way of escape, the New King James says. That's why He tests you, because He knows you can. Isn't it encouraging that when you get tested, know that God knows I can. Hy sien iets in my wat ek hier raak sien nie. That's encouraging, church. Hallelujah. That's what's happening over here. He says, You're going to be thrown into prison that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. He even gives the time period. I just wish it would be like that. Oh, Lord, when is this breakthrough? I wish we could know the when, but sometimes, most of the times we don't. Be faithful until death. So what was good about this church? Well, they're going through tribulation, poverty, blasphemy. It's good because they endured these things. That's why it is good. We know the scripture teaches us that endurance makes us stronger. I've got several scars on my body. Some of them I can show you, and some of them I can't, because this one's just nobody kerk. But you know what's interesting about those scars? If you got scars in your body, I know some of you. Everybody dies, but not everybody's lived. And I've lived, and I'm still going to live. Hallelujah! I got some scars. You know what's interesting? Even now, as I feel it, the places where those scars are, the skin there is tougher. It's tougher. It's stronger than the skin around it. The scars on my body is from things to do with engines and wheels. And that's just how it is. Some of you have scars from playing chess. I get that. So we go through these things to make us tougher. And that's what was good about this lot, this crowd. They went through these things and they endured these things. And here's the command. Be faithful. I saw there's this YouTube channel about cycling that I just listen to them every now and again. And in the little studio where they do their YouTube clip from, their podcast, whatever it's called, there's a sign at the back with a guy riding a bicycle. And yeah, he's Mugeploeg. And it says, it's like wrestling a gorilla. You don't stop when you're tired. You stop when the gorilla's tired. Wow. Ek weet nie van julle nie. People say, well, vegetables make you weak. Have you ever seen a weak gorilla? Let's just revisit that theory, you see. Mozzie, how long must I be faithful? How long must I put up with so-and-so? Ek weet nie. Weetie, tot het jou hart verander het of hulle sin. You just keep on keeping on, putting up with them. How long must I forgive? How must I tolerate? How must I persevere? How long must I keep on praying? Well, you know what? How long? He's actually my Chinese friend. His name is How Long. I don't know how long a piece of string is. But this command, here's the command. Be faithful till death. Well, don't crucify me, Yella. I'm just bringing the message this morning. That's how long we have to be faithful until. Be faithful until death. And hear what the Spirit says. The letters to the churches, hear what the Spirit says. Listen, 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 listen. You know? My wife said that there's only two things wrong with me, two major faults. The fact that I don't listen, the fact that I'm forgetful and I can't remember what the other thing is. Only two faults. I don't listen and forgetfulness, and I can't remember what else she said. I can't remember. Hear what the Spirit says. Listen and hear. I hear you, but listen to me. Listen to me and hear me. The handlebar team asked Mozzie, sometimes we tell you something and then it's as if you do nothing about it. You don't hear us, you don't apply it, you don't take it to heart. Like, while we're even talking to you, sometimes you even look away and they said, how do we know that we've got your attention? I say, you must say to me, Mozzie, listen to me and hear me. Then you'll know that you have my undivided attention. So that's what they're saying here. Listen and hear what the Spirit says, church. Then it speaks about the second death. What is the second death? Some of us think even the first death is a mystery. Well, you see, I'm going to just simplify this, short and sweet. The first death is your physical death, where your living spirit leaves your body. The first death. The second death, the scripture describes as complete separation from God. We're going to get to it in later verses as we proceed into the book of Revelation. But the second death is where you are separated from God. See, you can either be born once and die twice, experience physical death and separation from God, or you can be born twice and experience death once. when you die to self and be born again. I remember years ago, ek het nog minder geweet. Nee, vandag weet ek minder, because the more you know, you realize the less you know. But I thought born again was just some man-made, happy-clappy, Jesus-freak kind of charismatic church group where they start speaking about this born-again stuff. Because the type of church that I went to at that time, we didn't read from the Bible. In fact, the guy that was doing the speaking didn't preach from the Bible. The global leadership of the church would send die preke, verspreid het na die verskillende kerke toe, en dan het hulle dit gelees dan vir daai spesifieke Sondag, daai datum, dis wat hulle gepreek het. So, I was not familiar with the Bible. Then I got born again, started reading the Bible and said, hey, but, huh? Hey! Hey! Jesus said, folks, you get it? Jesus said, you must be born again. I'm like, what? The Bible says you must be born again. Dis nie 'n klomp happy clappies wat dit gesê het nie. This is what Jesus said. I'm going to go with what Jesus says. And my life has never been the same since then. So the second death here, church, means to be separate from God. So this letter to the churches, as we summarize and land this thing this morning, how does this apply to us? So we see that if God says it, it's going to come to pass. And yeah, this church is warned that you are going to be thrown in prison by the devil to be tested. You're going to experience blasphemy. You're going to experience tribulation. You're going to experience the consequences of poverty. You're going to go through these things. How long must you endure it? Endure it even to the point of death. What do you do with a person that's got nothing to lose and is not afraid of dying? They had their hands full with the Apostle Paul. He was like that. They couldn't threaten him with death. Imprisonment? Great. I'll preach to the people in imprisonment. Kill me? Great. I'll be with Jesus. Bring it on. Mense, geliefdes, let's get serious now. Are we like that? Are we like that? If somebody comes and says, points a gun to you and says, your money or your life or your bald-headed wife, give me your car and your wallet. Are you going to say, nee, jy gaan miskiet. Let me just help you. You're going to shoot me miss. Are you going to line the gun up with it and say, bring it on? Don't be stupid. Don't do that. Maar verstaan jy wat ek probeer sê hierso vanoggend julle? Are we like that? Or, you know, wanneer die wegraping, nie as die, when the rapture takes place, are we going to be raptured upside down because we're going to be so busy holding on to things down here? Wait, I just want to take this. Die moet saamkom, my bakkie, my bike, my car, my whatever. I just got to take the, you know, are we going to be raptured upside down? Faithful to, are we at that point where we can say, you know what, let death come because I'm going to be with Jesus. Are we like that, church? What a challenge. Can we apply this which is taught to the church in Smyrna? That's who it was spoken to, by the way, the church in Smyrna. But this morning, the Spirit of God is speaking it to the church in Alegua State, in Three Rivers East, Extension 2. He's speaking it to you, to your brother, to your sister. The Spirit of God is encouraging you and challenging you so that you can go out and encourage others and challenge others. I want to ask you this morning, is there a place where you've perhaps been blasphemed and you've gone through tribulation and experienced the consequences of poverty, either in those around you or in your life personally, or you've been tested to the point where you just want to give up and you need encouragement in that area? If that is you, I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I pray for those that have wanted to give up and want to throw in the towel, Lord God. And I pray for supernatural Holy Ghost encouragement in their lives this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Father, I pray for those that have perhaps experienced that their faithfulness has waned a little bit, Lord God. It's not what like it used to be, Lord God. They just feel that it's just not the way it used to be. I pray for encouragement and faithfulness to return to them again in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those this morning that perhaps fear death. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I want to ask you this morning, if you're afraid to die, if you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, if you're not sure that you're good enough or you've done what needed to be done according to you, to live forever with God, considering that His requirement is perfection, if you're not sure that you're going to make it to heaven, if that is you, please slip your hand up quickly. Anybody like that here this morning, just slip your hand up. I just want to pray with you. Anybody? So we're all assured of our salvation. Bless God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I've done my best to listen and to hear what the Spirit of God says this morning. But Father, where my preaching has fallen short, Holy Spirit, You are the preacher. You are the teacher. I pray that deeper revelation, deeper understanding of these truths, that You would speak it into the lives of Your people this morning and in the week that lays ahead, Lord, that we would start to live like this. People that are faithful and not afraid to die. Grateful for life, enjoying life, living the dream, but people that are not clinging to that as if it's the end all and be all and the source of our hope, but that You are Father. And we thank You for that this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. The deep end ministers to us in a wonderful way, isn't it? So daarom soek ons hulle weer terug, nee. Yes, so deep end, please come up to the front and lead us in a time of worship. As the deep end gets ready to worship, the blessing that we sang over each other, I'm going to speak it over you again this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a God-glorifying week, church. Come what may. Hallelujah. Bless you. Just a reminder that next week, Sunday, we're going to have a day of the covenant service, a gelofte dag dienst. That's what it originally was, and that's what it's going to be about. It's not political, it's not racial, it is scriptural. I know you are going to be blessed. Please invite friends and family and the unchurched to the celebration next week, Sunday. Thank you. Over to the deep end. Bye-bye, Donkey Yellow.